This morning, start off in two places, and let's go to Acts chapter 17, and let's go to 2 Kings chapter 21, Acts 17 and 2 Kings chapter number 21. Good to be saved. Glory, I'm saved. Amen. Not only am I saved, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. And I know who's running the show. And look at 2 Kings chapter 21, Acts chapter 17. Pretty easy to find in your Bible. And Acts chapter 17 talks here about the disciples and the apostles after they got saved and come in through. And it says this. Verse 5, we'll pick it up verse 5. And it says, "And the Jews which believed moved with envy, and took with them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." Watch it, verse number 6. "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren to the rulers of the city, crying," watch it, "these are they that turned the world upside down, or come hither also." And you know what? Right now our world has been turned upside down. Make no mistake about it, in our generation we have never ever seen what's going on today. And no matter how much, you know, if even a remote Bible believer, you got to know God knows what's going on. You got to understand, realize, and know that God's in charge of everything. And nothing happens by accident with the Lord, especially something this big. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 21, here's a great verse and a lot of stuff here about it. But 2 Kings 21 verse 11 says this. God knows what's going on. God knows how to get our attention. God knows how to deal with us. He knows. 2 Kings 21 verse 11, "Because Manasseh king of Judah hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites done, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols." Watch it. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah." He said, "I'm going to do this." Notice God's in charge. "That whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle." Verse 11, "And I will stretch out over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab." Watch this. "And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down." You know what God's done? In this generation, the last few days, I tell you what he's done. He's turned this world upside down. And I want to preach a little bit this morning, just give you a few thoughts on a Bible believer's view of the coronavirus. Just give you some thoughts. And to make no mistake about it, I'm a Bible believer. I'm not giving you a Christian's view. I'm not giving you the Southern Baptist. I'm not giving you Church of Island. I'm not giving you any apostate kind of... I'm giving you what the Bible said, a Bible believer's view of the coronavirus. And we need to look at everything and search everything by the Word of God. This is our vision. This is our view. This is our eyes. Ronald Reagan said, "Indeed is the incorruptible fact that all the complex and horrendous questions confronting us at home and worldwide have their answer in that single book." And he's talking about the old King James Bible. We should be able to search the Word of God. We should be able to search the God of the world, the God of the Word. Brother, let me tell you something. Sometimes God will reach down and we saw it there. And sometimes he might just shake things up a little bit and get our attention. And maybe he'll just reach down there and say, "Hey, hey, remember me? Remember me?" I mean, there's no way in the world as a Bible believer, I'm talking to Bible believers now, there's no way as a Bible believer understanding the Bible, understanding the hand of God, not to realize and not to understand that God is in this. No way in the world not to believe. Sometimes a merciful, loving, wonderful God might be trying to get mankind's attention. You know what maybe he might be trying to do? And I got a message. Hey, maybe he wants us to stop, look, and listen a little bit. Sometimes we just get carried away sometimes. And are we listening? Are we listening? Look over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 is a great verse. I'm preaching on a Bible believer's view of the coronavirus. And give you some things about it. In Romans chapter 13 is a great chapter, a verse in the Bible. You know what I believe God's trying to do? I think he's trying to get mankind's attention. I think God's trying to get us to look at him and say, "Hey, remember me over here?" Years ago, when Barack Obama got to be president and things didn't go too well for him, you know, and things were falling apart, there were some billboards put up in Texas around the country and had a picture of George Bush on it, and it just said, "Hey, remember me?" You know what God said? "Hey, remember me? Remember me?" Look over there, Romans chapter 13, verse 11. I believe we're in the last days. I believe God's trying to get our attention. Look at Romans 13, 11 says this, and knowing the time. We need to realize the sign of the times, and knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of our sleep. God's trying to wake us up, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. God's been ready to ram this thing up, finish this thing up, and I believe a merciful, loving God is trying to get our attention. I believe that. I believe He's a loving, merciful God. And we got the coronavirus. I looked up the word corona. You know what the word corona means? It is a glowing circle of light that surrounds the sun. I mean, is that not what this is? And the Latin word for corona is a circular crown. You know what God's got? I believe He's got a circular light right now glowing around the whole world, and He's trying to get our attention and pointing us back to the Son of God. I mean, I don't see how anybody can miss it in a million years. I believe the Lord's trying to get the world to wake up, and I'm going to give you some few points about it this morning. I want to say, first of all, some things, a Bible believer's view of the coronavirus. I see one thing. I see the fear of the unknown. Yeah. The fear of the unknown. It's not what we know about the virus, and I'm going to give you some things they know. That's not the most frightening thing they said. The most frightening thing is what we don't know. It is what we do not know. It's the fear of the unknown. They call this virus, you hear them talk about it, they call it, the medical world calls it, a novel virus. So what does that mean? The word novel means new. Like the Bible said about a preacher being not a novice. That means he's kind of new. A novel means it's a new virus. It's a virus that we've never seen before. It's never affected humans before. And they really don't know what this thing will do. They know it's killing people. They know it's contagious. But there's a fear of the unknown. And somehow, this deadly virus, it's been around for hundreds of years. But in February of this year, somehow it got latched on to a human being over in Wuhan, China. And since then, this virus has infected 145 countries in a few weeks. It's infected 145 countries. It's infected over 145,000 people. And there's been over 6,000 deaths already in just a few weeks. That's how fast it's went. There's a fear of the unknown. When it first came out, Donald Trump said it was a hoax made out by the Democrats. It's not a hoax, my friend. He's kind of woken up now. Rush Limbaugh said Friday, which is, I couldn't believe this after everything. I got it quoted. He said this. He said, we're shutting down our country because of a cold virus. That's all this is. Brother, this is not a cold virus. He's been sucking them cigars too long to cook his brain. It's not a cold virus. Cold viruses don't do this kind of stuff, brother. I'm telling you, this thing is real, and I'm going to give you what the medical world, the people that know about this thing, what they're saying about this thing, and there's a fear of the unknown of what's going on in this thing. Let me give you a few things. Here's what the experts are saying. It's not politics by the Democrats or Republicans. It's not the liberal news media. It's not mass hysteria. Here's the health officials telling us about this virus. Dr. Marty Makary. He's a professor at Johns Hopkins University. Johns Hopkins is one of the leading medical facilities in the whole world. He's not radicals. These are people warning us. He said this. He warned people not to believe the current figures that only 2,000 are infected. He says the true number is likely 500,000 people are walking around in the United States carrying the virus. That's what he says, 500,000. Dr. Markery urged people to be vigilant. Quote, I'm concerned when I hear a neighbor or a friend say they're planning to go to their kid's swim meet or in 3 weeks going on vacation. No, he says, we're about to experience the worst public epidemic we've ever seen. That's a man at Johns Hopkins telling us. That's not Democrat. That's not the liberal media. Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, and you can get this information on the internet, says this. They estimate that 38 million Americans will need medical care for the coronavirus. And they estimate that 10 million people are going to need critical care in ICU. 10 million. America's doctors are afraid of the tremendous strain. There are only 790,000 hospital beds in the United States. There are only 100,000 ICU beds, and right now they're filled with flu patients. And they're saying 10 million people might need ICU, might need respirators. That's what the medical people are telling us. There's a fear of the unknown. The Centers for Disease and Control estimates this is government. This is not a preacher, not the liberal media, like they're saying. The Centers for the CDC estimates that between, don't believe a word I'm telling you, it's on the internet, they estimate that between 160 million and 210 million Americans are going to be infected with over 1.7 million deaths. That's what they're estimating. That's the CDC. Congress, on this Thursday, Brian Monahan, he's the attending physician over Congress. He said this Thursday, the senators, quote, he says this, he expects. He don't estimate, he didn't suggest, his word was expects. He expects between 70 to 150 million Americans will be infected with the coronavirus. That's what he expects. He said he expects half of the population of the United States to be infected. I want to tell you, there's a fear of the unknown right now. They don't know what's going on. But I'm going to tell you, they're scared to death, the people that know. According to surveys, right now, 75% of every American believes they're going to catch this. And they might not be far off. And the world picture is even more frightening. According to Harvard University, five researchers, again, these are top researchers in the world, they estimate that between 20 and 60% of everyone on the planet Earth, between 1.4 billion and 4.2 billion, will eventually get infected with this disease. That's what they're saying. There's a fear of the unknown. Germany Chancellor Angela Merkel estimated that 70% of the country's population are going to be infected, 68 million people. Right now in Italy is the epicenter. Newt Gingrich wrote a paper. You ought to get it and read it. Put the fear of God in you. It's on the internet. He wrote an op for Time magazine. He's not a liberal. You know he's not. He lives in Italy. He's on the town. He said America needs to take the highest precaution with this thing. He's over there in Italy. Right now, Italy's in a total shutdown. Nobody can leave. The only things are open is grocery stores and medicines. Residents can go out once a week to the grocery store and the pharmacy once a week. One person per family. Everyone has to stay 6 feet apart. Every other store and businesses are closed. The hospitals are overloaded. And this is what Newt Gingrich, he's writing this in his paper. He's an eyewitness telling this. He said right now the hospitals are so overloaded, they got tents outside the hospital. And when you go up there, they have a triage. And they look at you and they figure out whether you can survive or not. If you don't have a rate of survival, they send you home to die. There are so many bodies right now in Italy that are dead. They cannot have funerals. Funerals are forbidden. Churches are forbidden. They got bodies. They don't know what to do with the bodies. Bodies are everywhere. They totally shut it down. That's reality. Get it out. Look at it. Newt Gingrich says it looks like World War II just took place in Italy. They just shut down yesterday. Spain and France. They're total lockdowns. Everything's closed. Say, what's going on? There's a fear. There's a fear of the unknown, brethren. There's some time men get hold of things, they don't know what you're doing. But the people that's supposed to know, the health people, are screaming. And what's so frightening about this virus? Many of them tried to diminish it. Even Donald Trump a few days ago, they compared it to the flu. He said this on March the 9th, just a few days ago. So last year, 37,000 Americans died from the common flu. It averaged between 27 and 70,000. 27,000, 70,000 deaths per year. Nothing is shut down, he says. Life and economy go on. So what's the big deal? You know what the big deal is? Even that's a good comparison. Because according to Dr. Fauci, who heads up this whole thing for the United States, he says this flu, this coronavirus, is 10 times as deadly as the flu. This thing is contagious. I gave you this morning statistic, 37 days. It's 1,000 times more contagious than the flu. And yet with the flu, we're giving vaccines. We got medicines. A lot of people have immunity. 45% of all adults will take a flu vaccine. 60% of kids. And even with that many people keeping treatment, we're killing 40,000 to 80,000 people. That's why it's scaring the health professionals. Because they know we don't have the protection for this virus. We know that this virus is more deadly than the flu. We know that this virus is more contagious than the flu. And even with all the tools we have to curtail and contain the flu, it kills thousands of people. That's what's scaring them. That's what these health professionals are looking at. Dr. Anthony Fauci, if you watch anything on TV, you've seen his face all over the place. He's been the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease over the government since 1984. He served under six presidents. He's considered the world's most authority on this kind of stuff. He was there when the AIDS epidemic took place. He was there when H1N1 flu came in that affected 60 million Americans, killed 21,000 in 2009. He was there for SARS. He was there for MERS. He was there for Ebola. He says, I have never, ever seen anything like this before. Those things don't compare to it. He says, I served six presidents and I've never done anything other than tell you the exact scientific truth and evidence and made policy recommendations on this. He said, this thing is 10 times as deadly as anything we've ever seen. What are you saying? These are people that know what's going on. He addressed the coronavirus on Friday. With regard to disruption of everyday life, we have not seen this before. We've not seen this kind of situation ever before. I mean, we had pandemics of 2009, H1N1 swine flu. As I mentioned, 60,000 people, 60 million were affected, 21,000 died. He said that was a pandemic, but it was a simple influenza. We were familiar with what influenzas do. We're not familiar with this. Right now, there are a lot of unknowns, and I think that's what's frightening people the most. That's what he said. There's the fear of the unknown, brethren. The fear of knowing the stock market. We've seen last week, some of you, I've watched the stock market. They had the worst day they ever had. Then they had the best day they ever had. I mean, they don't know what to do. There's a fear in the stock market. One day they're buying, one day nobody knows what to do. There's a fear throughout society. There's a fear of the unknown. There's a movie put out in 2011. It's called Contagion. It's got Matt Damon in it. I read about it on the internet, Miss Martha. And it parallels the coronavirus like you wouldn't believe. There's a lady, she gets infected over in China, by Wuhan, China, by a bat. Same as this. And then I read about it on the internet. People were kind of flipping out how much it was like here. So I bought the movie off of eBay and watched it last week, Miss Martha. And I mean, it was phenomenal how close. I mean, it was literally like you were watching the newscast today. And in the thing, it would show the places where she had touched. And people would touch, and that thing would spread. It has the same contagious value in Arnold 3, what this thing has. It ended up killing 25 million in America before it got through this thing on the movie. And I was watching the movie. In one part of the movie, Miss Martha, they go in the stores, and they're ramshacking the stores, and they're breaking in the stores, and doing all that. When I was watching that on the movie, Miss Martha, I was thinking to myself, now that's kind of hokey. That's kind of hokey. Now, I know that won't happen here. That's just kind of make-believe. Then I went to Sam's on Friday. For real. I went to the barber shop Friday morning. You know what I realized, Brother Alonzo? Barbers are philosophers that cut hair. They know everything, you know. Al, you can ask him about Corona. He'll tell you everything about everything. But I was telling him, I said, you know, I'm going to leave it here. We was talking about it. I said, my wife, she's kind of freaking out. We're going to run out of toilet paper. And she is. And I said, I'm going to Sam's and see if I can get some toilet paper. And Leon, he's a guy that works there. He's in his 80s. He said, well, he said, you won't have any problem at all getting toilet paper at Sam's. He said, I was there last night. They were bringing truckloads in it. They had a whole store full of them. I said, well, my wife will be happy with that. So I go to Sam's and I get there and I can't even get in the parking lot. My car can't even get in the parking lot. Finally, I get in the parking lot, get in line. And I know I'm not going to buy nothing because I know this crowd and I'm not getting in it. But I wanted to go inside and see what's going on. I mean, you go inside, honest to goodness, it was so crowded. You're walking like this. Just around people. And I asked a few people, I said, what's going on? Y'all got a sale? They said, the coronavirus is here. Because Friday morning is when they said it was in Alabama. The night before, Leon said there's plenty of toilet paper. If I'd have got there the day before, I could have got all I wanted. That's Friday morning when they announced the first one. And brother, when I went in there, I mean where the toilet paper was, Miss Marcy, you ever been to one over in Trussell? There's that big aisle and that big area with toilet paper and paper towel. That whole thing was completely gone. Shelves were completely gone. My wife said, public said they closed it about 4 o'clock. Shut Sam's down. Ran out of stuff. When I was walking through that store, you know, I was thinking, man, this looks like a Contagion movie. It looked like a movie scene. Say, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. There's a fear of the unknown. You know, everybody. everybody in that store. Listen, the lines in that store, I'm not kidding you, I'm not exaggerating. They were all the way, every line was full, all the way to the back of the store. And everybody had a truckload of stuff in there, getting through there. See what's going on, preacher? There's a fear of the unknown. That's what's going on. People don't know. They're scared. They don't know what's going on. Hey, listen, you and I, you know what? You know what? We may not know about tomorrow, but bless God, we know who holds tomorrow. Amen. We may not know what's going on, but we know who is in control of what's going on. And I don't care how bad it gets, my Father's in control. I mean, you know, they used to fight at Christmas over a Christmas toy. You know what they're fighting over now, Miss Martha? Toilet paper. There were two women on the videos on the internet fighting over some toilet paper. They had a brawl in Georgia where two guys fought and sounded and they broke wine bottles and stabbed each other. They had a fight in California. They had brawls over. You say, what's going on? There's a fear of the unknowns. What's going on? They don't know. Thank God I know that I know that I know. We might have heard me. We don't have a fear of the unknown. I tell you what I've got. I've got a joy of the known. Because I know how it's going to end up. Like old Naaman I preached about last week. When he had that leprosy. And he started out with that, behold, I thought. And brother, when he got hold of God, he said, but now I know. There are some things I know, brother. And I want you and I as a child of God, brother, we can look this thing. And listen, you don't want to be stupid. We don't want to be stupid, you know. We need you to protect yourself. I mean, we just can't throw it up in the air. Say, hey, that's it. Take your Bible, turn it over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You need to protect yourself. You know, wash your hands, that kind of business. Some things to do. But bless God, I'm going to tell you. Just like going to the doctor. You know, you need to go to the doctor if you're sick. If you got a toe like Miss Rachel, go to the wound doctor. But you know what? Pray. That's what I pray. I say, go to the doctor, and y'all hear me pray Thursday night, and I pray, and I say, now, Lord, we pray you give those doctors wisdom. And God, we pray you lead and guide their hands. But we know, God, you are in control. We got to do what we can do. But God's in control. You know what's going on out there? There's a fear of the unknown. I don't know some things that's going to happen, but I know who knows, and He's taking care of me. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Here's Paul. Paul said this. For the which cause I suffer these things. Paul said, I'm suffering a lot of stuff. I'm going through a lot of things. We may suffer. We may go through this. We may all catch this thing for it. I don't know. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. Paul said, I'm going to go through it. It's going to be tough. I'm going to suffer some things, but I'm not going to be ashamed of Him, for I know whom I believe in. And this thing right here, the world's going nuts. And they ought to be very lost. Look over at 2 Timothy 1:7. Look at a verse just right above it. Verse number 7, this is good stuff. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Yeah, we need to be cautious. We need to be warned. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Brother, we can look at this thing head on and say, hey, God's in control. Don't mean you. Don't wash your hands. That don't mean you don't try to take care of yourself. That don't mean you need to stay 6 feet away from people. That don't mean you want to go in a crowd. That don't mean you want to be stupid. Like one time the devil came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. You remember that? And he told Jesus, he said, hey, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself. He took him up to the pinnacle of the temple. He said, hey, if you're the Son of God, just throw yourself down. Because the Bible said, he said that it's written, that it said he shall give his angels charge over thee, and they shall bury him up, and he shall not dash his foot against the stone. He said, just throw yourself down, God will take care of you. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Yeah, see, you now you say, well, bless God, preacher, I'm just going to let God take care of me. I'm not going to wash my hand. I'm going to go, yeah, you better watch it. You don't want to tempt Him. You better do what you can do, and then pray and ask God to help you. So he's trying to say, there's a fear of the unknown. Thursday night here, boy, it got good. It got sweet. I mean, in the body, out of body, I can't not tell. And boy, we had a good time. Getting hold of God. And we was talking about this coronavirus. And I've been working on this message a little bit through the week, thinking about it, thinking about things. And Miss Jana, I asked Miss Jana, my wife, I said, how about y'all sing a song for us tonight? Y'all just sing something. And she didn't know, but I've been working on this message, Miss Jana. And she didn't know I had this song in that message. And they sung that song, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live for day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And the day I walk beside Him, for He knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Man, when they were singing that, you could just feel God, just the Holy Ghost, just comforting. Just, it's just amazing how everything was just... You see what you're trying to say? There's a fear of the unknown, but I'm going to tell you, God's people, I know what I know what I know. There's a fear of the unknown. Let me give you a few more things. I tell you something else. There's the fringe of man. The word fringe means outer border. It means the limit. It means the outer edge. And you talk about our world, and there's no doubt how smart man is. I mean, the medical things they can do nowadays blows your mind. It's mind-boggling what they can do. I mean, they can take your heart out and put another person's heart in. I know several people. One been living 25 years. They can take your heart and reset it, go in there and do an open heart operation, tweak it around, tweak it. They can do transplants. Brother, they can do all. They can do arthroscopic surgery. They can take a little bit of pulp and pump it in there and do surgery when they used to have to cut you open. They can do all kinds of things. It's amazing what they can do. They can replace your knee with a titanium. Miss Jana knows. They can replace your shoulder. They can replace your hip. Brother, they can just about give you a brand new body. Remember in the 1970s, they had the $6 million man with Lee Majors. And it come on and said this, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have make him better than he was before. We can make him better, stronger, and faster. You know what they got? We got bionic people in this church. Miss Shadow's not going to need a new body. God says, hey, you done got one. You done got your deal. I mean, brother, it's amazing what mankind has done. The things that were science fiction a few years ago is common procedures. But with all we know, you know what? Sometimes mankind hits the fringe of their knowledge. And they can't go any further. And they've hit the fringe of the knowledge. People are living much longer today than they used to. In 1900, the average age was 46. In 1910, it was 48. 1925, when Uncle Reuben was born, the average mortality age was 57. 1950 is 65. Today, the average life expectancy is 79 degrees. And much of the reason is because of our medical procedure. But brother, there comes a time, sometime when man is lost. And they can't go any further. Thank God for the skills and the knowledge and the expertise God has given these medical professionals. But sometime, my friend, just like this, they can't get any further. They hit the fringe of the knowledge of men. I think of these brilliant, dedicated people that are searching, trying to find. I mean, they're working feverishly. Thank God. You know what these people are? They're heroes, brother. They're first responders. We talk about the police first responders. We talk about the firemen, and they are, and I always try to thank them for what they're doing. But I'm going to tell you, these nurses and these doctors in these emergency rooms, I tell you what they are the real first responders. Because they're going into some ratio that can kill them, and they can take it home and kill their families with it. And they're going out there trying to help you and I. You know what they are. Thank God for them. But let me tell you, there comes a point when it hits the fringe of man and man stops. And God said, that's it. That's it. Dr. Fauci, I mentioned him. He knows more about this than anybody in the world, without a doubt. He went through all this. In 1984, he said this. About this. He said about this thing here. He said, the system, our system, healthcare, is not really geared up to do what we need right now. What we're asking for, he said, that is a failing. We failed, he said. Let's admit it, we failed. We can't figure it out. He said, we're not set up for that. There are just some things that man and their knowledge cannot do. And we've hit the fringe of man. This thing, man. They're trying to find an answer, and thank God for them. They're working around the clock. They're trying to find a vaccine. They're trying to find something, something to kick this thing through. I saw just yesterday, Johns Hopkins University, they're trying to find some way to treat this coronavirus. And it said this, this is the title of the article, "Doctors Want to Try Antiquated Technique to Treat Coronavirus Patients." In the absence of vaccines or antiviral drugs, researchers at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore say the key to slowing and treating the coronavirus might be hidden in the blood of those who've already recovered from the disease. The method of using convalescent serum, essentially harvesting virus-fighting antibodies from the blood of previously infected patients, dates back for more than 100 years and has not been used in America in 100 years, but they're trying to find some way to slow it down. You say, why? It's hit the fringe of mankind. Job 8 verse 9 says, "We are but yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are shadow." There's just some time, brother. We're just a shadow in this thing. Ecclesiastes 6 12, "For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? The days of his life are vain." Hey, sometimes we don't know. And God brought a little tiny coronavirus that you could take and put a million of them on the head of a needle right now, and it's turned the world upside down, and it's hit the fringe of everything mankind knows. There's a fear of the unknown, the fringe of mankind. I want to say something else. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. I don't know what happened to my timer up here, but it said I've only went 2 seconds, so that's a lot of work in 2 seconds. Thing's killing me. Feel like I've been at least 5 minutes, Miss Martha. That's the fastest, the worst 2 seconds I've ever been. Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 1 says this. I love this. I preached about this a while back. Here, Proverbs chapter 21 1 says this. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as rivers of water he turneth it whithersoever he will." You know what God's done? He has flipped the heart of man. He has flipped and turned the heart of man. You know what the heartbeat of this generation is? I'll tell you what it is. It's sports and entertainment. It's what it is. That's what many people, that's all they live for, man. You know what God did over there? He reached over and boom, turned the channel off. They have canceled the NCAA March Madness. They have canceled NBA the season. They have canceled spring football practice. They have canceled hockey. They have canceled soccer. Miss Martha's over here crying because they canceled the Atlanta Braves. She is saying Thursday night, "I wish they wouldn't cancel my Braves. They could cancel everything else." But you know what? You know what? I'm not hearing nobody complaining except Miss Martha. Charles Barkley was on TV, and he's being self-quarantined. And he was talking to him over the phone. And Barkley, you know how he is, man. He's obtrusive about everything. And he said, "I think they did the right thing, man. They canceled the season. Yeah, this thing's serious." Paul Feinbaum came on the TV the other day and they had him on there. And they was asking him about the SEC canceling the basketball tournament. And Paul Feinbaum said, "I think they're operating with a lot of wisdom. This thing's serious." You know what God did? He reached over there and he flipped the heart of man. All that stuff, Brother Chris was saying the other night, Thursday night, was talking about it, and Brother Chris was saying, "I wonder what a lot of these people are going to do, because that's all they live for is sports. They're not going to know what to do." I mean, you know what God did? He reached over there and it said the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and rivers of life. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's amazing. It's amazing what God can do. I mean, listen. I'm not talking about Alabama. I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about the whole cotton-picking world. The whole world is shut down. He has turned this whole world. Poof. He didn't do it with an atomic bomb. He did it with a little bitty germ you could put on the head of a needle, millions of them. And he shifted this whole world. You think God doesn't know what he's doing? Think he doesn't know how to get our attention? Look over there in 2 Timothy 3, 1. "But know this, in the last days, perilous times have come, for men be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." I mean, this is our generation. And go down to verse 4, "Traitors, highly man, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." You know what God did? Boop. He just reached over and changed the channel. Like you saw in 2 Kings 21, it said he took Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, and he just turned it upside down. He turned the hearts of man, flipped them. Not only that, I tell you what, there's a fear of the unknown. There's a flipping of the heart of the man. I tell you something else I see. And this is important. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. 3 minutes, man. That's a lot of preaching for 3 minutes. Well, I'm glad I'm just in the introduction then, because I a long way to go. I'm at 4 minutes now. Clocks don't lie, do they? Matthew chapter 24. Here's the second advent of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. I want to say there's the fear of the unknown. There's a fringe of man. There's a fringe of man. There's a flip in the heart of man. And I'll give you a couple more. One more here right now. I got some more. Matthew 24:3. Here's Jesus Christ sitting there, and they're wanting to know what's going to be the sign of the times. Matthew 24:3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him and said, "Tell us when shall these things be?" Talking about the second coming. "And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of war. See that be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." This is before the tribulation, by the way. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginning of sorrow." You know what the word pestilence means? It means producing the plague or other malignant contagious diseases. That's what it means. On Drudge Report, it's a big website on the internet. I don't think he's a Christian or anything. But when this thing come out, one of the big headlines he had on his website, it said, "And there shall be pestilence," quoting Matthew 24. I remember when this thing first came out, the first couple of days, I was telling you, I was walking around with Brother Mills, a preacher there. He walked sometimes, and we was talking about this thing. He said, "Brother Terry, you know from reading the Bible that something like this is got to happen before the Lord comes back." Maybe this is it. I don't know, but it's a forecast of the last days. It's just amazing how that God can reach down and turn the whole world upside down. Many preachers preach the rupture before the rapture. They preach before the rapture comes, there'll be a rupture. And that's what Matthew said. All these things are the beginning of the sorrow. And when you read Revelation, which we've been studying, read over there in Revelation 6:8, it says that power was given on him to kill a fourth part of mankind. Revelation 7, many men died because they were made bitter. Revelation 9, thousands of millions have died. You know what God can do? He can do it just like that. You know what he's showing you right here? He's showing us what he can do. You know what God can do? The God of heaven, he can shake and rattle and roll this world just like that. Who would ever thunk, Miss Rachel, a month ago we'd be where we're at today? They have closed the schools. They've closed the schools. Over in Italy, they have closed. Italy, Spain, and France, they've closed everything but food. And farms, they're going to do that here. You watch. They'll do that here. They're going to shut it all down before it's over with. They can't let this thing run. They're looking at a vaccine a year and a half. If they let this thing keep running, brother, and keep running, keep running, keep running, there's not going to be much people left to run the thing. They're going to have to do something to stop it. They just can't let people go. They're going to have to stop it some way. They're doing the right thing. They're doing the right thing. But you know what God did? He just reaches over there. And the whole world's flipped. 145 countries are infected. You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's a forecast of the last days. You read over there in Revelation, and we've been studying the book on Sunday school in Revelation. Over and over, we see where he deceived the whole world. The whole world followed the whole world. And I keep saying, that sounds strange to everybody, but let me tell you, he'll take the whole world. And you look right now, the whole world is captivated by... Think about this. One man or one person caught this thing. Wuhan, China. This thing has been around for hundreds of years, they know. It lives in a bat, reptiles. They thought it was a snake first. Now they're saying it comes from the bat. But it's impossible, they say, for the bat and for us to catch it from the bat. They said somewhere the bat infected something else, an intermediary animal or something, maybe a pig, they're thinking. That's what's on Contagion movie. It was a pig that it caught. And somebody ate a pig, but one person got infected. And now it's in 145 countries. It has turned the world upside down. We've never seen it. You say, what is it? It's a forecast of the last day. This shows what God can do. I'm just going to give you one more. I got several more. I'm going to give you one more. I tell you once, there's something else about it bothers me. It bothers me more than anything. The forsaking of the Lord. Psalms 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned to hell and all the nations that forget God. You know what I'm not seeing in America? I'm not seeing people calling on God. I'm glad Donald Trump, at least Donald Trump with all his problems, and I'm no fan, at least he had enough sense. He said, hey, let's declare Sunday a day of prayer. Now, I know he's not praying, but at least he had enough sense. Because you know what's going on in this country? We have forgotten God. I have researched this. I spent 100 hours reading and researching this thing. I have not found anything from Christians or anybody hardly saying, hey, we need to get hold of God, man. You know what they're doing today? They're closing the churches. I mean, they're closing the churches! We ought to be opening these churches up. People are running in them and getting hold of God. That's where we ought to be. You say we're afraid we'll catch it. That's why you need to get there. They had a black preacher on TV last night. And he wasn't closing his church. And he had a big church. And the TV, they asked him on Channel 6 or whatever we watch. And they asked him, why aren't you closing the church? You know what he said? Why aren't they closing the hospitals? He said, church hospitals are for their health. He said, churches are for our spiritual health. He said, we're not closing our church. He said, I don't ever read in the Bible where Jesus Christ ever ran from a crisis. We're supposed to be running from Him to Him. He said, we're going to keep our church open because that's where we need to be. They're closing them. They're closing them. Father, we've forsaken God of all the places. In 9/11, when it took place, there was a whole different environment in this country. People or churches were being filled. And they were coming looking for God. Today we got so far away. We've forsaken Him. Let me tell you, make no mistake about it. God knows this is going on. Make no mistake about it. God's hand is in it. You have to believe that. Take your Bible, turn over Deuteronomy chapter 28. I could give you many. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. You know, I see Bible believers, you, and this bothers me more than anything, is forsaken, forgetting the Lord. I'm going to give you a cure for this in a minute. You want to know the cure? You say, is there a vaccine? There is a vaccine. You say, is there a cure? There's 100% cure for what's going on in our country, in the world right now. I can show it to you in the Scriptures. I'm a Bible believer, see, and I believe the Bible. And I'm going to give you the cure. And I've read a lot on the internet, Christian websites, and I have not seen one article or one person bring up this verse. I'm going to give you in a few minutes. And everybody here knows it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, God says this, telling Israel, and it shall come to pass, and thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, observe and do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations there. God said, you obey me. Goes down to verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, blessing, blessing, blessing. And verse, come down to verse 14, God says this, and I shall not go aside after any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or the left or the other gods or to serve them. Then it shall come to pass that thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, observe and do all His commandments and His statutes that I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. God said, I'm going to send these curses on you. Look at verse 21. And the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until thou have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Verse 22. And the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with extreme. God said, I'm going to do that. God knows what's going on. We ought to be getting hold of God, this nation. But we're not. Our religious leaders are not. I gave you over there, Kenneth Hopeland, tell him to pray and touch your hand on the TV. Jim Baker's trying to sell the silver solution to cure coronas. They made him stop. God's in it. Colossians 1:16 says, for by Him were all things created, they're in heaven, they're in earth, visible and invisible. All of it, God's hand's in it. And brother, I tell you what we've done. we've forsaken the Lord. Over there in 2 Samuel chapter 24, there's old David one time, and David gets a big head, and David gets excited, and David lets his head get too big, and he tells Joab over there, he said, go number Israel. And Joab says, don't do this. That was his pride. He said, listen, go number them. I want to know how many of them I got. And God told him to number them several times, but that time, God said, don't do it. And he does it. And he sins. And God, he told David, I'm going to give you three things. He said, you can have 7 years of famine, or you can have 3 months with an enemy, or he said, I'm going to send 3 days of pestilence. And the Bible says this, and so the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from morning even the time and killed 70,000 people. You know what? God's hand is in it. It's time to look to God, brethren. People have forsaken the Lord. Brother, like never before, we ought to be looking for God. Like I said, I'm reminded of that bulletin board after Barack Obama got elected. And it had that picture of George Bush, you know, and I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was great. Had a picture of him smiling on the board. I remember seeing it. And he said, remember me? You know what I think God's saying? Hey, y'all remember me? Y'all remember me? Would you like to know a cure for this? You say, is there a vaccine, preacher? There's a vaccine. We're not going to do it. Won't happen. But it is in there. And I'll tell you where it's at. And everybody here knows where it's at. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You ever read 2 Chronicles chapter 7? Everybody knows chapter 7 verse 14. But you ever read the chapter? You ever read why God tell them to do that? You ever read that? You ever read verse 13? You ever read that? Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Here's the solution. You want to know the solution? See, God cannot lie. I told you when I started, this is a Bible believer's view. I mean, somebody that believes the Bible, see. I believe this is the cure right here. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, if my people, that's God's people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked. They're not going to turn from their wicked way. We got same-sex marriage, got abortion, we got everything in the world going. They ought to do it, but if they would, God would do it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. And he said, I'll heal their land. That's the solution. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. If I shut up heaven that it be not there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, and we just saw that all across the world, and he says this, or if I send pestilence among the people, there is no doubt God's hand is in it. He said, if you want to heal the land, you want to fix this situation, I'm going to tell you how you do it right here. He said, I'll send that pestilence. You know why? Because he wants you to remember him. I will send the pestilence among my people, and my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's the solution. That's the vaccine. That's the vaccine. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the hope we have and the peace we have and all that we have, Lord. Thank you, God, that all these things we know, Father. You said when you see all these things happen, lift up your eyes, your redemption draweth nigh. We know these things are happening, God. And we just pray, God, and pray, God, why we're doing it as Miss Liz mentioned earlier, Lord, that we could be a witness. What a great day to witness. You got people's attention. Got some attention. People are concerned. They're worried about the unknown. They ought to be. They're worried about it, Lord. And pray, God, help us, Lord, to be a faithful witness wherever we might go. Lord, what a time to witness. What a way to witness. What an open door like we've never seen. We've never seen anything in this generation before, Lord. And Lord, just pray your blessing upon the rest of the day in Jesus' name. Amen.